Al Weinreb, welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill.
Al Weinreb started out as a physicist and began doing social justice work early on, recognized the dangers of global warming, left an academic career to become a community organizer, not just warning us, but building movements that could lead the reconstruction necessary to save us from unimaginable catastrophe on an uninhabitable planet. To that aim, he's been the coordinator of the local Clean Energy Alliance in the Bay Area for close to a dozen years. Also wrote the classic book, Community Power, Decentralized Renewable Energy in California, and co-edited the book, Energy Democracy. So, Alan, this year, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its sixth assessment report with a very dire warning that we, humanity, have 10 years to reconfigure our economies and ways of life, especially in the developed economies, 10 years to save ourselves from the catastrophic climate change. You have thought about this a lot and worked in it. What's our best chance of avoiding the mass suffering and death, maybe even human extinction?
That's a very big question. It starts from like where this whole crisis has come from, clearly out of an economic system, you know, that's been a very extractive and very exploitive since it came on. And we call that system capitalism, and the way it uses the resources of the earth and the people of the earth in order to build and concentrate capital and the power of a small group of people who have then used fossil fuel energy resources as an important driver of that kind of activity and that kind of economic system, and constructed, you know, whole societies around the use of fossil fuel as an energy source for driving the economy and every other aspect of life. And we've seen now the contradictions coming, as Malcolm X said, the chickens coming home to roost, where now we are faced with an existential threat to the survival of the Earth's ecosystem and all the species that depend on that ecosystem, including the human race itself. At a deeper level, it definitely requires us to think about the whole economic system and how it's structured, more immediately about energy resources and those energy resources that are being used. And it doesn't take too much of a grasp of the situation to understand that fossil fuel extraction and use has to disappear in favor of renewable energy resources. That much is very clear, but that doesn't say too much about the nature of the struggle, because the struggle is not a technical struggle, really. It's a struggle about very powerful economic and political forces. But most people get, and there's been a whole movement created, a climate movement, around this transition from a fossil fuel economy or a fossil fuel energy base to a renewable energy base. Most of my work is involved not in that question so much, but trying to look at, okay, well, if there is a transition, if we are going to move toward renewable sources of energy, what does that solution space look like? What do we imagine that to be, especially since technologically it's really easy to understand what needs to be done because the technologies are all around. But then what does that look like? What are the set of institutions within which renewable energy has to develop in a way to really address the climate crisis? That's a question that I think is more on the agenda today, but hasn't been that much on the agenda. The problem has been defined as a technological problem of moving from fossil fuel power to renewable energy. But that's problematic in itself, that framework, because as I mentioned before, the real problem isn't technological. The real question is, well, okay, under what conditions and under whose control will renewable energy be developed in order to supplant fossil fuel energy? That's a question that the movement has not really taken up and grappled with. So even now, you see all these calls for a transition to 100% renewable energy. We need to have climate action plans. But what does that actually look like? And by default, it looks like the fossil fuel energy system. You just stick in a little bit of renewable energy for the fossil fuel energy, and everything else is the same. Same institutions, the same power structure, the same everything. So when we're talking about a transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy, we're really talking about a transition from the large oil corporations and their economic interests to a transition to the large utility interests and the Wall Street backers and large transmission companies and establishment that's associated with utilities. Nothing nothing new about it. We go from nuclear plants and coal-fired power plants and gas-fired power plants to solar and wind plantations, remote and distant from people, where the electricity is carried across large high-voltage transmission lines to where it's got to be used. And that energy system we call a centralized energy model, because it's centralized in the sense that the energy generation is concentrated in very large facilities that are remote from where people generally live, although a lot of gas-fired power plants and electricity power plants are in neighborhoods. That's a big environmental justice question and has resulted in poisoning of large sectors of our communities, low-income people. And the decisions made about this whole energy structure are made out of Wall Street and the banks and large corporate enterprise. And that's the model that we've had in California for a very long time and in most places. Mostly states have energy systems that are dominated by large monopoly utilities whose energy model is a centralized energy model.
This is Bill Resnick talking to Al Weinrub, a physicist turned community organizer to build movements that must stop the global warming that threatens the human future. He co-founded the Local Clean Energy Alliance of the Bay Area, also wrote the classic book Community Power, distributed renewable energy in California, and co-edited the book Energy Democracy. We just discussed the corporate model of moving from fossil fuels to renewable energy. But there is an alternative to the big utility model and the immense costs of the grid. There is a different model that's being talked about a lot in scientific circles, not enough in community circles, but in fact, the community energy movement is emerging much stronger. In fact, in Biden's plans, he began just talking about the big grid. In time, he's been forced, I think, by Bernie Sanders and the Green New Deal people, and they need their support in the Congress. There is a progressive caucus, after all. He's been, in fact, forced in some of his latest Build Back Better program and the other infrastructure program. They've also talked about funding community energy and distributed energy. It seems to me there really is an alternative, and you know that alternative a whole lot better than almost anybody else on Earth, and how it's, in fact, being degraded in some places. Tell us about the alternative.
So two aspects of the centralized energy model in terms of what it means about climate change. The first, as you pointed out, is that the whole model is based on remote energy and large transmission lines. And what we know from climate change is that it creates conditions where this becomes a very vulnerable and risky electricity system. We know in California, for example, that the utilities, these outmoded and dilapidated transmission infrastructure has caused a lot of the wildfires. These wildfires are very destructive. They kill people, they destroy property, and those are all costs that are borne by our citizens. So the first thing about the centralized energy model is that it's the worst model to use under climate change conditions because the weather and the climate make this a very vulnerable electricity system. The second thing that's really important is that the impacts of this destruction are borne mostly by low-income people and people of color. So built into this centralized energy model is actually what we call institutionalized racism. The impacts of this model is like everything else about climate change. The people who are worst impacted and most harmed by the fossil fuel energy system are the same people that are most harmed by this centralized renewable energy model. That model is just a model that accentuates the racial divide and at the same time puts everybody else in jeopardy as well. So when we talk about a decentralized energy model, I mean, that's what we're trying to address, is the total failure of the centralized energy model when it comes to any real alternative from the point of view of an energy model that will help strengthen our society, strengthen our communities, address the racial disparities that have existed and are very strong within the energy model. I mean, we know because of fossil fuel who is most poisoned and most harmed by fossil fuel energy. But what I'm pointing out is the centralized energy model sort of reproduces that whole same effect. So the alternative is made possible by the very nature of renewable energy itself. It's the sun shines everywhere, the wind blows everywhere, ability to save energy and to cut back on energy use exists everywhere. These are what we call distributed energy resources. They're resources that can be harnessed and used everywhere. They can be harnessed locally. So you can build solar electricity generation through solar locally. You can cut energy use by being smart and not wasting energy locally. Wind is harder to use locally, but it's still things like geothermal and wind are better harnessed at times and wherever those resources exist. So in general, the whole idea of renewable energy is a distributed resource. It has many forms and ways of handling it, but it can all be developed locally. And that gives rise to the possibility of what we call a decentralized energy model, where all the aspects of the centralized energy model can be turned on their head. Instead of having very large banks and very large institutions making the decisions about what kind of resources to develop, when and where, these can be made by the community itself. Where investments go and who they benefit can be made by the community itself. They can create local investments, they create local jobs, they create economic expansion for small businesses and so on. Dealing with questions of inequities, those programs can be shaped to meet the needs of the communities that they're supposed to be served. So this is what we call a decentralized energy model. And this model has actually been around for a number of years. More recognizably, you know, you can put solar on your home, or you can put solar on your schools or churches, or on your businesses. That is a form of distributed energy and is an important aspect of a decentralized energy model. So I think if you're really looking for an energy model that's more democratized, that is more sustainable, more equitable from a point of social justice, we're talking about resources that get developed and decided upon locally and institutions that will help promote that.
Yeah, there's another aspect of the disaster that will be caused by the corporate banker investor-owned utility model that really shifts resources to the rich. Investors in those companies also do very, very well at 10% earnings. The banks do well on it, underwriting their debt, everything. I mean, it's a vast rent on everybody else. But the other aspect is we're in a race with time now. Unless we develop a clean energy system and begin reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says we have 10 years, they're never going to be able to develop their system in 10 years. It's extremely both expensive and shutting up these continent-spanning grids. They're not only expensive, they take time to design. They take a huge amount of time to build. They take singular designs in every area. And on top of it, that system is only as reliable as their most vulnerable pylon or plant. It seems to me that that system is completely unable to actually produce kinds of reductions in greenhouse gas emissions that are absolutely necessary. They cannot do it in 10 years or even 20 years, no matter what they did, even if they were immunized from every environmental regulation, which is what they're also looking for. It seems to me renewable energy can be built in a city by any construction company who can build a house or a kitchen even. It's a very simple technology. It's of off-the-shelf materials that people can be trained to use very quickly. And it seems to me that their system is a recipe for the destruction of the planet. Anyway, that's my pitch. Al Weinreb, there's been lots of efforts, including in California, to do community solar and wind, to build out the local structures, to confederate with other cities and towns in the region for storage and for resilience and for repair facilities, and storage in particular. It seems to me that we even have the models for doing it, but unfortunately, they're really under attack. Give us a little more detail about the models, and then we can talk about the attacks that are going on and the way to counter the attacks. And it seems to me that humanity is not going to have a future under the corporate model. Tell us about the local struggles and what local energy could look like.
Yeah, so this notion that I'm putting forward about a decentralized energy model is not that new in concept. I mean, it makes so much logical sense, even because the technology so directly lends itself to that. But as I mentioned before, that the question of a transition from fossil fuel to renewable energy economy is really not a question of technology. It's a question of political forces and political power. And so the centralized electricity model that we're talking about, again, is a power structure deeply embedded in our states and in our communities. And so the effort to move toward decentralized energy is basically a political and economic struggle, because the establishment is, just like the fossil fuel industry, is opposed to that kind of transition.